This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien and Chris Sullivan. What does the science say about going back to school? Let's call in the doctor.
Paging Dr. Cohen.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. And Dr. Cohen, we now have some documented real-world case studies on the actual danger of reopening schools before everybody's vaccinated. So what do they say?
We have been discussing all along whether kids should be in school, shouldn't be in school. And I think there's been some pretty strong feelings amongst, for example, the American Academy of Pediatrics that we probably should have kids back in school. Dr. Redfield, the director of the CDC, has also said that we should have kids back in school. I think a lot of physicians feel that way, and clearly a lot of parents feel that way. So there was a letter to the editor in the New England Journal of Medicine this past week about the experience in Sweden. And I think it's really interesting information. So as you may recall, Sweden was one of the countries that decided not to shut down. They were going to try to develop herd immunity by not asking people to wear masks, but only asking them to socially distance. And they left their schools open. So they give an exact number, 1,951,905 children in Sweden as of December 31st, 2019, who were 1 to 16 years of age. And what was really interesting is they looked at the number of deaths they had in that entire population of children pre-COVID, so in the 4 months prior to COVID coming to Sweden, and they had a total of 65 deaths. And then they looked at the number of deaths in the first 4 months that they had COVID, and they had a total of 69 deaths. So basically, there was no difference between the number of kids who died out of those nearly 2 million children pre-COVID than there was post-COVID. Now, the other concern, obviously, is whether or not students can then bring it in to the school and give it to the teachers. Data from the Public Health Agency of Sweden showed that there were fewer than 10 preschool teachers and 20 school teachers in Sweden who ended up in an intensive care unit for COVID-19 all the way up through June 30th of 2020. So they have a total of 103,596 school teachers, and they had 20 of them that ended up in the ICU. So it's equal to 19 per 100,000. So actually compared with other occupations, excluding healthcare workers, this was a risk that was really pretty similar to everybody else in society.
Well, that sounds pretty persuasive, but this, again, is one study. So can you responsibly act based on this one study?
There was also the Iceland study that looked at about 40,000 students, and they did both contact tracing as well as genomics on the virus to try and determine where or how it came from, and they found similar results, that the likelihood of student-to-student transmission in school was actually incredibly low, and that for students who actually got COVID, the most likely place they were to get it was from their parents or somewhere else out in the community, and that teachers were not getting it from their students. So I personally feel, and I think this is why Dr. Redfield and the American Academy of Pediatrics has been advocating for students to be back in school, because I think the harms or the risks of staying home are actually worse than returning the kids to school.
So as somebody who's done pediatric surgery, you feel good about this study then?
I think one of the biggest issues with COVID right now is getting our kids back into school. And I really think personally, as a person who primarily takes care of children, that it's important to be advocating for this, because I don't think there's any good science or good data to suggest that they shouldn't be in school. And when we're talking about, well, let's follow the science would suggest that kids should be in school.
As for your own journey through the vaccination process, you're up for your second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Is that right?
That's correct. I'm having it this week.
This week. Now, you described to us in very vivid detail last time when we talked about your first shot, just how generally fatigued it made you feel. Do you have any anxiety about shot number two?
So I do have a little anxiety. I mean, there have been reports. There were reports of the initial studies, and there have been ongoing reports of people being, you know, pretty sick for, you know, 24 hours to maybe in some cases 48 hours after the second shot. Now, let's keep in mind, what's causing you to be sick? It's not that the virus is causing you to be sick, because you're not getting the virus. You're getting mRNA. But it's your own immune system that's reacting. That means you're developing antibodies to the virus. So it's actually, in a way, sort of a good thing, but it's not something that people really enjoy too much. So I'm not really looking forward to it. I've heard some people feeling pretty bad after the second injection. But, you know, we'll discuss it next week after.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. So we will know the full details come next Monday.
We will.
Okay. Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. Dr. Cohen, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
I can laugh because it's him and not me.